hang around with people that are where you want to be. If I want to start buying multifamily homes, who am I going to hang out with? Probably you and your team, the people you move and shake with. It's really simple. Life is not that difficult or that complex. We just make it harder than it really needs to be.
CEOs often feel stuck in the grind of scaling their business and feel like they're missing out on the best parts of life, like family, friends, or travel. On this podcast, CEOs come to take themselves and their companies to the next level. Let's dive into The Millionaire Mind with your host, Dallin Schultz.
Hey, welcome back to another Millionaire Mind episode where I have some of the most successful business owners sharing what motivates them to get out of bed every morning and how they elevate themselves and their companies to the next level. And I've got another great guest joining us today. The path to success is absolutely a journey. One with a lot of ups and downs, but those that choose to keep pushing through, often driven by a strong why, are the ones that succeed. They're able to take what life hands them and not only quickly identify opportunity, but are able to execute on it. On today's episode, you're going to hear about an incredible human that accomplished just this and went from being bankrupt to becoming a multimillionaire, and how he's been able to serve and provide value to others by sharing with them a tool that can help accelerate that process. Super excited for our guest today. Special welcome to Devin Burr. Devin, appreciate you joining us today.
Dude, thanks for having me. What an intro, man. Hopefully I can live up to that intro here on this podcast and serve your community.
I know you will. So Devin and I had the opportunity. We got introduced through a mutual friend a couple weeks ago, and just a few minutes of connecting with him, I knew he had to be on the show. And fortunately, he was gracious enough to donate his time to us. So you're really going to want to listen in because, as I mentioned, incredible human, incredible journey. And now he's in the pursuit of helping others experience what he did. So Devin, why don't you take a minute and share with our listener a little bit about who you are and what you do today? And then let's take it back and really talk about the journey and what you had to go through to get to where you are today.
Man, for you to say, like, to think that people would want to listen to me, it's kind of crazy when I really stop and think about it, because 6 years ago, I was bankrupt. I had $300 to my name, living in a little apartment, me and my daughter. I was a full-time single dad, and I couldn't afford that apartment. I literally was about to be on the streets. So I had to move in with a friend. We rented just a little one bedroom in his house, barely afford that. It was maybe $400 a month is what I was paying.
And you had $300 in your bank account.
$300 in my bank account. So I had to sell a lot of the stuff that I owned. Like, I sold my bed. I just had a mattress. I sold like all the extra shoes that I had. I'm like a shoe junkie. So sold a bunch of shoes. I was down to like one or two pairs of shoes, just kind of rock bottom almost, I thought. And when I thought things couldn't get worse, I got my heart ripped out of my chest by this woman that I thought was going to be the one for me. I was going to marry her, and she broke my heart. So up until that point, my daughter was 9 years old. I shielded her from everything that I was personally going through because I didn't want it to affect her. I wanted to give her a better life than I had growing up. I saw my mom get beat when I was a kid. Like, my dad was never around for the most part. He was working two jobs just to put food on the table. Had a bunch of siblings. Like, it's just, I never like really had my own things. It was always hand-me-downs. I wanted to give my daughter a better life, and I was failing at that. And when I got my heart broken, I lost it. I couldn't shield her from it anymore. I just started breaking down crying, like ugly face crying. Because I was crying, she started crying. And because she was crying, I started crying more, and just waterworks, right? And I was 31 years old at that time. I thought that I just failed in life all around, financially, emotionally, spiritually. And I had thoughts of suicide. Like, I was in a dark, dark place. And I remember sitting there with my daughter, crying my eyes out. And I asked her if I was a good dad, because again, I felt like I failed at everything else. And this little girl, she lifts my chin up and she looks at me. She says, "You are the best daddy." 9 years old. Like, she saved my life, because again, thoughts of suicide, didn't feel like this life was even worth living. And I'm glad she did, because I realized from that point, everything that was happening to me was my fault. I didn't work on me. I didn't read any books. I didn't watch YouTube videos about business. I didn't listen to podcasts. I did nothing that was making me a more valuable person. So I deserved all the stuff that was happening to me. As soon as I started working on me, this was October 27th of 2016. A month later, November 22nd, I met my wife and everything started to turn around. So I tell you guys all that because it's crazy to think that people now look at me for guidance. They look at me for wisdom when I'm just a normal dude that learned a couple things about business, learned a couple things about money. And then the second I started sharing all of these things with other people is when all the external success, all the things that like people want, money, nice cars, nice house, all this stuff, that stuff didn't come until I started serving other people and giving my knowledge to other people to help them. And in turn, by helping them, guess what happened? It helped me immensely. Not only just the income, like monetary income, but spiritual income. Like how it makes me feel when I help somebody else is amazing. It's worth more than all the money.
I'll be honest, Devin, that was the most intense intro I've ever had from a guest. Listen. If you are tuning in and listening to this right now, like he gave you a summary of what we're going to be getting into today. I hope you understand now what I mean when I said incredible human and incredible journey, right? When we just scratched the surface there. So Devin, before we take it back and get more into that journey, share with our listener, like, what is it? What is it that you do and how do you serve people?
I was a W-2 employee, right? I left my job as a mortgage banker. I did home loans. I left that job October 8th of 2019. I just knew there was something more for me and I didn't like working for someone else. I hate being told what to do. So I went out on my own and started doing real estate. I started wholesaling. I started doing flips and I realized that I don't like doing wholesaling. I hate it. It's like literally, I can't stand it. Flips, same thing. There's always things that happen. There's surprises, you don't make as much money as you thought you were going to make. And then you pay more taxes because you have to pay capital gains. So I'm thinking to myself, this was like mid 2020. And I'm thinking, I want to build wealth. I want to become wealth. I'd rather have like a slow dime than a fast nickel. So I knew that if I buy properties and I keep them, I can build real wealth. And I knew about this method of real estate called the Burr method. My last name is Burr. B-U-R-R. So I'm thinking, I'm Mr. Burr. How about I coin myself as Mr. Burr, the Burr method?
I love that.
It was just kind of a natural progression and it made sense because of my last name. And then I made a music video, me and my buddy Templeton Walker, shout out to Temp. We made a music video. It's a spoof music video to the Chingy song Right There from like the early 2000s.
Can we get a link to that so we can include it in the show notes?
100%. But it's like, it's just funny because we had a ton of fun with that. I had like a fake grill. I had like a big chain, like all kinds of fake jewelry, ghetto clothing. And we're sitting there rapping about like doing the Burr method. So that's when I became like Mr. Burr. And then I started holding on to properties. But then I realized like, there is an actual tool out there where you can multiply money, meaning you can make money in multiple places at the exact same time with the same dollars. Most people have no idea this exists, but if you look back in time, the Rockefeller family, they knew about this. The Rothschilds, they knew about this. JP Morgan Stanley, you talk about Walt Disney, you talk about Joe Biden, the president of the United States, uses this vehicle and many, many other people that are extremely wealthy families. They know about this. How come we as a society don't? And it's because they don't want us to know about it. They don't want us to know the secrets they use to build wealth. And I learned this secret and it changed everything for me in 2020. I started literally making money hand over fist in my real estate deals. I had a deal. I legitimately made money in five places on the same deal using the same dollars. Think about that. Most people, they think, I got this money, I'm going to take it and I'm going to go put it into this investment, or I'm going to take it and I'm going to buy this car. I'm going to take it and I'm going to go on a vacation. Most people think that money has one use, but if you can give each dollar multiple uses, you add more velocity to the money. And the amount of uses you can give $1, if you use this vehicle, it has to go here first. It's unlimited how much money you can create. So when I learned that, I knew it helped me. So I'm like, if it helps me, it's going to help anyone. Guys, I am nothing special. I said this before. I grew up in a very, very broken home. I had a rough childhood. I barely passed high school. I got held back in the second grade. How do you get held back in the second grade? Like, I couldn't hold crayons right. I couldn't use the scissors. I don't know. But I'm not the sharpest tool in the shed, and it worked for me. If it worked for me, it'll work for anybody. So I just started sharing it as often as I could. And as soon as I got on social media and started sharing it, it blew up. I made one video and went to bed. The next morning, I woke up 17,000 followers like that. And I knew I was onto something. So I just kept making videos and kept explaining how I use this concept. And now I just help people set it up and do it. So I've set up since March of 21, I've set up over 1,300 people using the concept that the ultra wealthy use.
And what is that?
It's the infinite banking concept. So some people have heard of it, some people haven't. It's basically just mimicking the bank, doing exactly what banks do with money and just doing it in your own life. And if you think about a bank, what do? They take our deposits and then they lend the money out, right? So they pay you for keeping your money. Let's say it's 1% that they pay you.
That's good if they're paying you 1%.
That's incredible if they're paying you 1%. But just to make math easy, let's say they pay you 1%. Now, what they do is they take your money and they lend it to somebody else. On a car, on a student loan, on a credit card, whatever. And if they lend it at 10%, how much did they make? They paid you one, they lent it and made 10. How much money did they make?
They're making 9%.
That's what most people think. But here's the thing. You have to look at what they have in that deal. They're not using their money. They're using yours. They're just paying you 1%. So they're turning 1% into 10%. That's a 900% return. And then what happens? The person that borrowed the money at 10% pays it back to the bank. What does the bank do? They lend it out again. So they're making 900%. If they can lend it out again at, let's say, 15%, now they're making a 1,500% return on top of the 900. This is what banks do. I just learned how to do it. And now I just teach people how to do it as well.
And it can be a very, very powerful tool, to your point, to increase the velocity, to accelerate the power of your money working for you. And listen, Devin has tons of material and information on this. And before we go further on, Devin, I want to make sure our listener, if this is something they're interested in, that they can get plugged into you right away. So usually we do this at the end of the show, but how can people learn more about what you do, or where can they find you?
So Instagram is probably the biggest channel that I'm on. It used to be TikTok, but TikTok's kind of wonky right now. You can find me at Mr_Burr. So that's B with four R's. And if you go to the link in my bio on any of the social media platforms, there's a link. And then if you click on Infinite Banking, you can register for a free training. It's an hour-long training. It goes over in detail how this works, shows numbers, gives examples of how you can buy cars, how you can pay off all your debt. If everything makes sense, or if you just have questions, at the end of that call, you can schedule a call with someone on my team. They're all versed on how to do this. We can help you get everything set up and work with you.
That's awesome. And Devin shared that he's already helped over 1,300 people do this. So if that's something you've heard of or you're interested in learning more, he puts out so much free content on this topic. And if you want to connect with him and his team, go to his Instagram, watch that video. If it makes sense, if you have more questions, then follow up with him and his team. So appreciate you sharing that, Devin. Let's take it back. And I appreciate you sharing what you do and how you serve people. Let's go back to this point when you started, where you have $300 in your bank account. What was happening in your life? What got you into that position?
So I had my daughter at 22 years old. And it was one of those situations where her mom and I never really got along. We butted heads a lot. There was just a physical attraction with us. And we stayed together for the wrong reasons. We were having a kid, so we got married, which is just probably the worst thing we could have done. She was 19, I was 22. And like, I had a resentment at that time. I had a big ego, and I believe ego stands for edging God out. Whenever it's just about you, whenever you think that you're the center of everything, that's ego. I had a humongous ego. And my daughter's mom and I, we split in 2011. So I was 26. And from that point on, like I was just on like a downward spiral. I was just going about life the wrong way, just chasing women and just kind of almost disrespecting them and just a player, really. Which is horrible because I had a daughter. Like I should have been different at that point in my life, but I wasn't. It was all about me. I had a huge ego and jumped around from job to job. Could not hold a job for more than like 6 months. I just probably had throughout my 20s, this is no joke, probably 50 jobs throughout my 20s. Sometimes I had two or three jobs at the same time just to like pay bills and keep my head above water. Yeah, so that was my 20s going into my 30s. Like I said, I started dating that woman that I thought was the one. Like, I think around 29 is when I met her. And dating for like 2 years and just things were not going good because, again, I think the biggest thing that people need to realize is that whenever you just focus on you, nothing really good can come from that. Unless when you're focusing on you, you're focusing on improving you. Progress on who you are as a person, because I look at it as like a cup, like maybe this can, for instance. If I fill this can up with liquid, I can only fill it up so much. As soon as I get to the top, what happens? It overflows. We as people are the same way. If you fill yourself up, you're focusing on you, becoming better, becoming more valuable. If you fill yourself up, eventually you're going to spill over. And what you spill over with is the value that you've acquired. And that helps everyone around you. So I didn't do that. I never focused on becoming a better version of me. I just focused on like a quick fix of who am I going to sleep with tonight, right? How am I going to get drunk? How am I going to go get high? Like it was all about me.
Was there something internally, like looking back, do you feel like there was something internally, some sort of void, something that you were trying to achieve by those actions? And before you answer that, I appreciate the hell out of your vulnerability, man. Like that's what you're sharing with us. You and I have had a few minute conversation and there's people that have never even heard of you or I that are going to be listening to this show and you are sharing it, man. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that. But back to that, my initial question, do you feel like at that point there was something looking back internally that you were trying to satisfy through this behavior? Or were you just trying to live life?
Man, I don't know. That's a good question, man. I mean, I know just like how I was brought up, nothing was easy. It was like my parents split up when I was, I think, 4 or 5, and they had joint custody of me and my brother. So we would go from mom's house Friday through Friday, and then go to dad's house Friday through Friday. Every week, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. My dad remarried, so we had 5 siblings in that house. And then we'd go to my mom's and it'd be completely different. It was just my mom was out working. So we had the entire place to ourselves. So I never saw like consistency growing up. It was always just back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I think because of that, it like shaped who I was as a young adult. I never had consistency. I never stayed at a job for long. I always wanted to jump because I thought that's what life was, always changing. And I think that came from how I was raised, going back and forth from house to house.
That was normal. That was normal to you. You didn't know any better.
Yeah.
You were conditioned, and that was ingrained into your belief system.
Yep. And I think a big part of it too is like throughout my 20s, I was searching for the one, right? Always have had just a big heart, and I wear it on my sleeve. And my high school girlfriend, I lost my virginity to her. Like she was like my first love. She broke my heart. She cheated on me with one of my friends. So just, I think because of that throughout my 20s, I was just like searching for love, really. And I was looking for it in the wrong places. And it always came to a bad ending. So yeah, I think that was really the void, is I was trying to find love, but I wasn't being love. To get love, you have to be love. You have to give it. And I wasn't giving it. I was just looking for it.
Appreciate you sharing that. So It sounds like at this point, when you moved into your friend's house and rented a room, like all these decisions, this lifestyle just finally caught up to you. And you shared with us a little bit at the beginning of some of that pivot, but what was it that made Devin realize, like, I've got to figure my shit out. I've got to figure this out for me, for myself, for my daughter, and for those around me. Like, what was going on? What caused or initiated that pivot?
So when I broke down and cried to my daughter, I just had like this clarity. I just saw things clearly. Like, I started talking to God a lot, started praying. Like in my car, I would just have full-on conversations with God and ask him for answers. Like, just show me the way. Like, take the wheel. I'm surrendering to you. And I remember looking in the mirror one day, brushing my teeth, and it was like a couple days after I broke down to my daughter. And I'm like, dude, you're 31 years old. Like 10 years ago, when you were 21, you looked at 31-year-olds like, oh, those geezers, they're old, right? But I'm 31 years old. I don't feel old at 31. And I definitely didn't look old. Most people say I don't look 38. So at 31, I looked like I was like prepubescent, you know? So I didn't feel old. I didn't look old. And I'm just looking at myself in the mirror. I'm like, man, by this time, you had these dreams of being somebody. When I was a kid, I had a wild imagination. I wanted to be a business owner. When I was in like fourth grade, I bought caramel apple lollipops from Costco for however, it was like a pack of 200 of them for, I don't know, $6-7 back then, maybe not even that. And I would take them to school in my backpack and I would sell them for like 50 cents, 75 cents a piece, because those were the most favorite like lollipop suckers there were at my school. I would make so much money as like a third and fourth grader doing that. So I was like, man, I'm going to be a business owner. I'm going to crush it. And I'm 31 years old, sitting there as a failure. And I remember talking to myself saying, dude, you got to turn this around. Nobody's going to come rescue you. Nobody. My parents didn't know how to make money. No one in my family's ever been really successful. This is on you. You have to do it. And I'm a firm believer that if somebody's done it, proof it's possible. And so many people have become millionaires. So many people have become billionaires. So if they could do it, I could do it. Success leaves clues. I just got to find the clues and then take action and do the same things they did.
Why can't I? That's a question that I consistently ask myself. People have done it. If you're wondering if something could be accomplished, look around, search, you'll find somebody that has most likely done what you want to do before, and then start asking yourself, why not me? Why yes. not me? Am I not worthy of this opportunity? And sometimes you're not prepared for that opportunity. And piggybacking on what you said, that's about taking that extreme ownership. That's about right. taking a look internally and say, hey, am I the person? Am I becoming that person to experience that level of success? Am I living my life the way I need to? Am I treating people the way I need to obtain that level of success? But it starts with you. It starts with us internally. And that, what you shared right there, Devin, is why I do this podcast. Because we have so many successful business owners coming on and talking and sharing about their journey. It's when they take that look internally and they take matters into their own hands and they still work with the team, right, to help them accomplish their goals. But it starts with them on the personal level. So my challenge to the listener, if you're listening to this right now, and if you've either feel like you've plateaued in your business or looking to start a business, and not sure where to begin, start with yourself. Start evaluating and seeing where you are at personally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, how are your relationships around you? Start there. Because if those get in sync and tune into that high success frequency, the business and the opportunities are just going to start flooding in and presenting themselves.
Absolutely. Like, I couldn't agree more. It's like one of those things where you have to expect it. Expectation is probably one of the keys that I've had for success. Is like at this point in my life now, I expect to make a certain dollar amount. And if I don't make it, I'm like pissed off. And we're talking about a lot of money where even just 3 years ago, two, 3 years ago, if I was like, man, can I make $100,000 in a month? I don't know. Seems like a lot of money. I had a limiting belief on it. Now it's all comes in levels, right? Like now I think of, ooh, could I make $1 million in a month? I don't know. Seems like a lot of money. But If you ask a billionaire, hey, can you make $1 million in a month? They'll be like, I made that with just my money sitting in this mutual fund or whatever they have it in, right? So everything is relative in life, relative to where you're at. Like, here's an example. I've got this $100 bill here. If I were to give this $100 bill to a bum on the streets, just go give it to them, they would be like, this is so much money. You know how many beers I could buy with this? Like, they would think this is a ton of money. If someone gave you and I $100, we'd be like, cool, thank you. Like, it's not that much money. If someone gave us $1 million, we'd be like, hell yeah, this is freaking awesome. Someone gives $1 million to a billionaire, it's not a lot of money. It's all relative to where you're at. So how can you get to a different level? Hang around other people that are at that level. If you want to get in great shape, hang around people that are jacked, that have abs, because you will pick up their habits.
Even if you don't start working out, just go hang out at the gym. And by nature, you're going to eventually pick up a weight. It's going to happen. Yourself there.
Hang around people that are where you want to be. If I want to start buying multifamily homes, who am I going to hang out with? Probably you and your team, the people you move and shake with, right? If I want to be a better husband, I'm going to hang out with someone who I know is like the best husband possible. I'm not going to hang out with someone who keeps getting divorced, right? Like, it's really simple. Life is not that difficult or that complex. I think we just make it harder than it really needs to be.
We overthink it. And I can't speak to what you just said enough. So when I started in real estate, my first purchase was a fourplex. And I know a lot of people getting into real estate, they'll often start with a single family home. They'll do the Burr method, right? So I was feeling pretty good buying these fourplexes. I'm like, yeah, I got one leg up on other real estate investors, but that's all I could envision at that point. And I always wanted to get into these large apartment buildings, but I wasn't sure how. And a few months into my journey, I went to this apartment investing conference. And that's when I was introduced to the idea of syndication and funds. And I realized that these apartments are not purchased by one really rich person or an institution out of New York. It's purchased by people like you and I, Devin, that pool our resources together and take down these larger assets and reap the benefits of owning multi-million dollar real estate. So after going to that conference and putting myself in that room with like-minded people, I started visualizing it. I could start seeing myself doing it, and I started implementing changes on a personal level of what I needed to do and who I needed to become to make that happen. Fast forward a few years later, and we're buying 100 plus unit properties.
I love it.
With incredible people. And it's an absolute blast. So I shared that to piggyback on what Devin had mentioned, because if you're listening to this and you're wondering, like, how can I envision myself making $50,000 a month? Start by getting around to other people doing it. Not talking about it, people that are doing it.
Dude, I want to unpack what you said there a little bit. Like, the belief, I think it comes down to beliefs. That's really what it comes down to. When you get around other people that are doing syndications, that are doing these multi-unit deals, that are doing real estate at all, when you get around them, you start adopting their belief. Like, here's a good example. I believe the world to be a very good place. I believe it to be a place of a lot of people that are kind-hearted, a lot of people that have, you know, your best interest in mind. And because I believe it to be that way, guess what? That's what shows up in my life. I don't watch the news. I don't look at all the BS that's happening, because that doesn't affect me. As bad as this sounds, if there's a bomb that goes off in China, if I knew about it or I didn't, it doesn't change my life. So why know about it? I'm going to focus on what I can control, which is my life, and feeding my mind, what's going to help my mind believe certain things about the world, believe certain things about money, believe certain things about business. And that all comes from just getting around people that think like that. You adopt their beliefs. So if you guys want like a shortcut to success, legitimately, it's the easiest way to get it. Just hang around people that are successful, period. If you do just that, naturally, just by being around them, by association, you will level up.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So Devin, what was turning point in all this in your journey? What was it that what happened, and when was it that things just really took off and you personally started realizing, hey, this is happening. This is really happening.
I would say it was my first meetup that I went to. And this kind of plays into what I was just saying, getting around people that are successful. So I left my job October 8th of 2019. I had no clue what I was doing. I didn't know how to wholesale. I didn't know how to do a flip. I didn't know how to find deals. I didn't know anything, but I'm just like, I'm going to do it, whatever. So I leave my job October 8th. I don't do anything. I don't even think I left my house for like 2 months. And I'm this close to going back to my job, the one that I actually hated. I hated being an employee. I felt like I was just handcuffed, the golden handcuffs, right? I was this close to going back. And I remember that at the time, Templeton Walker, he was my mentor, good friend of mine. He said, dude, you're a people person. Get out of your house, go meet people, hang around these investors, go to meetups. You'll start getting deals. I remember being in my car. I'm sitting there outside of this meetup. I don't know a single person there. I'm terrified. I'm literally terrified to go in there and like talk to people. I almost went home and was going to ask for my job back. But I was like, you know what? Screw this. I'm going to go in there. If it's weird, if it's awkward, I'll leave after like 10, 15 minutes. I ended up meeting some really cool people and then just started networking and telling them that I'm looking for doing flips. I've got some capital. I had this credit line or a line of credit on my house. So I'm trying to figure out who I can JV with. Didn't even know I was doing that. And then I started getting deals. I got my first deal January 13th of 2020. And I think I went to the first meetup right before Christmas. So it was like 2-3 weeks of just networking, I started getting deals. So I think that was the turning point, is just getting over my fear of going into that first meetup and just getting around people that just, they know what they're doing. I didn't know. So I'm like, let me pick their brains. I actually hate that saying, but like, let me learn from them.
And that was beginning of 2020. And when was it that you got introduced to this Infinite Banking tool?
That was during the pandemic. So March 15th of 2020 is when everything shut down. So I was getting my deals from going to meetups, right? So like I'm going to these meetups by March. So from January to March, I did 8 real estate deals, some flips.
Wow. With no previous real estate experience.
0. So I was just, people would send deals to me and then I would either wholesale them. So I'd move them on, or I would take them down as a flip. So at that point I was 8 deals. I think I had 3 flips working and I had wholesaled 5 deals. So I'm like, this is amazing. I'm a real estate investor. I'm not an employee anymore. Like I'm a business owner. This is incredible. COVID happens. Meetups go away. And I'm like, crap. Now what do I do? So I just started working on myself again. I started reading books. I started listening to podcasts, watching YouTube videos. And I heard a podcast with Chris Noggle. He's my mentor with Infinite Banking. I heard a podcast of him talking about becoming the bank, and it all just made sense to me. So I literally became obsessed with this concept. I'm reading all the books on it. I'm watching all the YouTube videos. I'm up reading articles late at night. I'm trying to learn as much as humanly possible. I got my first policy in May of 2020. And then by the end of that year, I had 5 of them personally. I've now got number 10 and 11 in process as we speak.
Wow. Share with our listener, if you're comfortable, what your net worth has done since 2020, kind of the trajectory of that, when you decided to start working on yourself, getting involved in real estate, and pursuing something that you were very passionate about.
Yeah. So as an employee, before I left my job, I was making $117,000 a year was my last year there. Didn't have much net worth. I think I had maybe a couple hundred grand, 150, 200 grand, something like that, which was actually a lot considering 3 years prior, I was dead broke, $300 to my name, bankrupt. So I had actually achieved quite a bit by just reading books, listening to podcasts, watching YouTube videos. And then when I left, it was Quicken Loans. That's where I worked. I left there. And when I started getting into real estate, want to say around May, when I got that first policy that I did, my net worth was around 300 grand. And I was on track that year to make 160 as my first year in real estate. So I was doing pretty good. And that's with zero marketing, guys. I have never paid a dollar for marketing, just me going to meetups and making relationships. That's how I get all my deals. So that's what it was in 2020. As of this year, I'm on pace to make about 1.7 and my net worth is just over 5 million. So that's the crazy part, is like, it doesn't feel like a lot. I remember when I became a millionaire, it was September of 2020. I'd bought a few properties because I started doing the Burr method. And because I bought them and they appreciated quickly, as everyone knows, I calculated everything. I was a millionaire. I was worth 1.16 million or something like that. It didn't feel different. Like I didn't feel like I had a lot of money. Now it being about 5 million and me on pace to make almost two, it doesn't feel any different.
I'm glad you said this, Devin, because I pose that question because there are some people trying to figure out how to financially get to that next level, right? So I pose that question so that they could see how quickly it can accelerate if you're taking the right moves. But that, listen, I know the name of this podcast is called The Millionaire Mind, Journey into the Mindset of Successful Business Owners. I'll be honest, I use the term millionaire as like a catchword, right? It's like clickbait to get people to click on it. The purpose of the show is to get into the mindset. And every single person that we've had on here that's been extremely successful, they're successful financially, but it didn't start there. And you mentioned this at the beginning of our interview, that it's about you and who you can serve and focusing on that. And then the financial gains and benefits will come. So I just want to clarify that because yes, I pose that question, but it's absolutely not about the money. It's about the impact that you can make. And it's proportionate to how many people you're able to serve and how many problems you're able to solve.
100%. Yeah, it used to be about the money. Like I remember times where I was like, I'm going to make $100,000. This is going to happen. Like, and then when I made my first 100 grand, which was maybe 2012, I'm like, cool, it's going to last forever. So I started spending money like crazy, right? Just going, racking up bar tabs, just being stupid with money, thinking it was always going to be at that level. Now it's like, I don't take for granted what's coming in, but I don't just go spend it. Like I don't do stupid things with money anymore. Now when money comes in, I think, how many uses can I give this dollar? How many times can I make this dollar go out and work for me and bring home little babies, right? Those are little green soldiers. They go out there, they hook up with other green soldiers, and then they bring back soldier babies. That's the way I look at money now. So
it's a tool.
That's it. It solves problems. Like me personally, I hate doing dishes. Hate it. I cannot stand doing dishes. I don't like doing laundry. If you make enough money, you can solve that problem by just hiring someone to do it, right?
And giving them a job.
Yeah. And then you're helping them out because you're paying them. So you're giving them money. And you just have to put like a time equation on money. Let's say it takes me an hour to go do a bunch of yard work at my house. If I pay somebody $100 to do all that yard work, can I make more money in an hour than $100? Absolutely. So why would I spend my time doing that instead of paying someone $100 so I can spend my time going and making more? It's just a positive arbitrage on your time. So I always look at it like that and just, what's the best use for my time? Because time will never get back. That is the most valuable asset. We literally spend time. And it's the only currency you'll never get back. And we spend it doing things.
And if we actually take a look at how we're spending that time, we'll probably realize how much we're actually wasting.
100%.
So, well, Devin, we're coming up on time here and got to start wrapping up. But before we get into the final four questions we ask all of our guests, you and I, before we started recording, we're talking a little bit about our why. You asked me how my weekend was, and I don't think you were expecting the response I was about to give you because of the clarity that myself and my team gained from our quarterly meeting we had last week. And we had a chance to talk a little bit about our why. But share with our listener, what is Devin's why? Like, we know what you do, right? You shared that you do this infinite banking and you help other people. What's your why?
Well, dude, first and foremost, maybe the fastest almost hour ever, right? Like, I feel like we could be going back and forth for a few hours here. So I appreciate you. I appreciate your time and just having me on. You know, I would think my why, this is a big picture. I want to change the schooling system. I want to change what is taught in schools. I think schools are ridiculous what they're teaching. Nothing is taught about financial literacy. Nothing's taught about what an asset is, what a liability is. They don't even teach you about credit. So it's designed that way for a reason. It can be changed, but in order to change the schooling system, I need to be on billionaire status. So that's the big picture, the big why. Change how things are. That's my legacy. I may never see it come to fruition. That's what they say legacy is. It's a tree that you plant that you never get to see the shade of. You never get to lay underneath that tree. But my daughter maybe can. My grandkids, my great-grandkids, right? I want them to be sitting in a mansion somewhere. And they're humble. They're not little spoiled brats, but they're in a mansion. There's huge like fireplace. And above the fireplace is a painting of Grandpa Devin. And everything, Mr. Burr, everything they have is because of what I was able to do with my life. That's my legacy, is changing the way people learn about money, finances, assets, giving people a better life along the way.
Absolutely love it. Thank you, Devin. Thank you for your time this morning. And as we wrap up here, let's dive into these questions real quick. So what is one absolute book recommendation for those looking to scale and further develop their millionaire mind?
Oh man, I got to go to just the ones everyone knows about, Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Like, that was the first book I ever actually read. Everyone knows about that one. Think and Grow Rich, another one. I'll give a couple here that I really think have shaped what I've done. Not a lot of people know about them. It's Mr. Schmooze. That is an amazing book. It's about networking and just elevating the experience of anyone who comes into contact with you. So Mr. Schmooze, amazing, amazing book. And one last one I would say is Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. Probably the best book I've ever read. It's literally an interview between Napoleon Hill and the devil. The devil gives all the secrets of how to literally outwit him throughout life so you can have heaven on earth.
Interesting. I've never heard of that one. I actually wrote that one down because that sounds fascinating to me.
It is a must read, dude. He wrote it in like 1938 and his wife forbid him from publishing it because she was scared of the backlash. So even after he died, she didn't get it published. She died. The Napoleon Hill Foundation finally published the book in 2011. Incredible book.
And I just got it. On Audible. Look at that. Take action, dude, baby.
Let me know what you think, man. It is an incredible book, especially if you listen to it, because the person reading it like goes back and forth. It's the same person reading as Napoleon Hill and then also as the devil. So the voice changes and it's really engaging because it's just a back and forth conversation. Super good book.
Interesting. And Sharon Lecter had a part to do with this. And she also helped out with the Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Yeah.
With Robert Kiyosaki. Incredible. Awesome. Devin, what has been one of your favorite quotes that you've embodied and lived by?
Adversity is here, just left, or it's on its way. There's always going to be adversity. Like, there's people try to get around it and try to like sugarcoat their life. No, you're going to have struggles. You're going to have mental struggles, physical struggles. It's going to happen. It's a part of life. But how you deal with them determines where you take your life. So yeah, adversity is here, just left, or it's on its way. I love that quote.
There's no getting around it. It's how you can prepare yourself personally to face it head on and to overcome it. So Devin, if there was one thing that you could share with fellow business owners that are beginning or simply trying to get to that next level, what would it be?
Get around other successful people. We talked about it earlier. Like, you're a product of your environment. A rising tide lifts all boats. So if you look around at all the people you hang out with, if you are the most successful one, you're hanging out with the wrong people. If you're about as successful as they are and they're not moving in the direction you want to move in, as bad as it sounds, get new friends. Like, not saying you got to get rid of those friends, but like, I've got new relationships that I didn't have a few years ago. People that are way above me financially, spiritually, emotionally. Not to say I've gotten rid of other people. It's just, we don't really hang out as much. Like, if they ever needed me, I'd be there for them. I love and respect those people, but you can only spend so much of your time with other people. Spend it with the right people. Spend it with people that are where you want to be, because you will adopt their beliefs. You'll adopt their habits, and inevitably, you'll start leveling up just by being around them and associated with them.
100%. Just show up, walk in. And I got to go back to your experience at the meetup, the first meetup you went to. You were sitting in the car, not wanting to go in, but just because you walked in that door, that was the catalyst that really pushed you down this path. Take that action, put yourself in uncomfortable situations, and make shit happen. That's really what it comes down to. And take ownership for you. Devin, you already shared this halfway through our episode, but share with us again, what's the best way a listener can learn more about you and how you can serve them?
Go check me out on social media at Mr_Burr, B with 4 R's. I put out a lot of content on there, all free content. DM me. I love engaging with people. I actually am the one that's responding. I don't have someone responding for me. So it might take a little bit of time for me to get back to you, but I'll definitely get back to you. So shoot me a DM.
Awesome. Look, this has been an incredible conversation with Devin. And if this is your first time listening, I'm so glad you tuned in. People have been asking me what my company does. So since I have you here listening to my show, I'll share that with you now. My company partners with busy professionals just like Devin that are looking to experience significant tax savings, have more to invest, and even reinvest their hard-earned capital. And we work with other multi-million dollar businesses like yours by offering them opportunities to invest alongside us in large apartment deals. If you've been wanting to get involved in apartment investing, but you've been too busy to figure out where or how to start, then you can find out how I could serve you by visiting investwithrev.com and schedule a 15-minute discovery call. It could be overwhelming vetting the right investment and the right operator, but at Rev, we make apartment investing easy. Devin, dude, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really enjoyed our conversation and hope that you and I can work together again in the near future.
Dude, let's do it, man. It was, like I said, probably one of the fastest hours of my life. Like, we just kind of got lost in conversation. And I hope everyone listening to this does one thing, and that is share this with other people. I talked about it when I became really successful is when I started sharing, right? I was sharing my knowledge. You might not have a bunch of knowledge yet. You might be acquiring that. You might have different things you need to learn. But just by sharing an episode where you might have heard a nugget or two, that can help someone else. The more people you help, the more successful you become. So share this episode. I appreciate everyone that's listened in. And dude, I appreciate you, bro, for having me on. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it's been a blast. And I agree that the hour flew by. And these interviews are some of my favorite things I look forward to every single week. So again, thank you. Thank you for taking the time out of your day to spend it with me and with our listener base. And to our listener, remember, you can't have a $1 million dream with a minimum wage work ethic. So go out there and earn your win for today, and we'll catch you on the next episode.
Hope you got value from this episode of The Millionaire Mind, a journey into the mindset of successful business owners. If you want to get results, you've got to take the right steps to get there. Dallin hosts a free weekly educational webinar focused on teaching you how to start investing in apartments so you too can experience the benefits of real estate ownership without doing any of the heavy lifting. There you can gain insights, connect with others like you, and ask Dallin all your burning questions about how you can start owning apartments today. Go to themillionairemind.us. That link is in the show notes.